Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Spence Gola Morning News. Great to have you here on this Monday, the last Monday of October. I don't know. It's 8 days till the election. Maybe that's a little bit more relevant. Hey, Tom Dahlberg is our guest next, and he is coming tonight to the First United Methodist Church. I said the Rex earlier. I apologize. At 6 p.m. to give a Civicon presentation on the subject of bullying. Tom Dahlberg, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. It's great to be here and to talk to you and your audience.
Absolutely. Horrible subject, unfortunately. Your background is you're a dad, your husband, you're a coach, and you had a terrible incident with your, at the time, fourth grade old son, right?
That's exactly right. And what makes it even worse is we didn't know at the time. So our son, he was born a big kid and he had neurological challenges. He was being bullied, and he was being bullied predominantly by adults, and we thought we were the worst parents ever. And so we did so many things wrong to try to help him learn through the process, did some things right through the process, took this journey, and then years later he says to my bride and I, "Mom, Dad, I need to tell you." Back in fourth grade, so he was in his 20s at the time, he said, "I put a belt around my neck." For the grace of God, I wish we had done all the right things. So he's still with us. He's doing great. He's in counseling. He's helping others in so many different ways. And we, from learning again from so much we did wrong, and then doing research and connecting with experts, we want to help. And so when we get asked to come and talk, we want to share our story and share again what we did wrong and some things we did right, and try to help children and families and communities.
It is a problem that so many kids deal with, so many parents deal with, and so many parents are afraid that their kids are dealing with that they don't know about, as happened in your cases, dealing with depression, suicidal thoughts, and bullying of any kind. And by the way, I should note, I should have said it in the introduction, but you may hear a little bit of a speech difference with Tom. He's from Boston, in case you couldn't figure out from the way he's talking. He's not from here. Of course, many of us are not from here. So you talk in at least the article I read in the PNJ and some of your speeches, you talk about what constitutes bullying. And the way I take it is you have kind of two identifying features. One is some kind of a power imbalance. And, that could be physical, that could be mental, that could be institutional, that could be authoritative positions, and then repetition. Mm-hmm. One incident of somebody being mean to somebody doesn't really constitute bullying, but over time is the real feature, right?
Those are two of the keys. And in fact, when you look into laws within your communities, one of the key pieces the laws typically point to is repetition, that it's over and it's over. And I would simply add to the ones that you mentioned, which are definitely two at the top. It's unwanted. It's aggressive. It's targeted. It's intentional. So it is not just, quote, teasing. It's teasing when it hits on all those other aspects as well. And again, it's far more than just teasing as well.
It seems to me like if there's a way to describe this problem, the way I would describe it, and you're much more the expert than I am, is nobody ever seems quite sure what to do. And the things that are in place to help seem pretty inadequate. Is that your sense?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great way to talk about it. And in fact, I think the study came out in 2012, perhaps 2013. They talked about a lot of the anti-bullying initiatives, and they were wrong. They didn't work, and oftentimes they led to worsening. And as I get opportunities to go around the country and see and talk, some of these things are still in play. So we'll be talking about some of these things that we shouldn't do tonight, as well as talking about some of these things that we know actually make a difference. And then also what you need to do within your specific community or your specific school or your specific youth program or whatever it might be to get to a place that now we can make a change. Now we can do something that's going to make sense.
It also strikes me, and I mean, there's so much to be talked about here. That's why I'm so eager to see what you have to say tonight. 30 years ago, 20 years ago, if somebody came to me, if my son came to me and said, you know, I'm being bullied. Well, I would understand that as a group of mean peers or as somebody who's physically pushing them around or, you know, something that we all sort of understood, you know, calling them names, making fun of their physical features, you know, all that kind of stuff. Social media has not only exaggerated the effect and the prevalence of bullying, but it's bullying of a sort that most parents don't even understand. So, Tom, am I right in this that even the parents who wish they could help and want to help and don't feel like they have the resources, part of the problem is not even understanding the nature of how social media is affecting bullying these days. Is that fair?
Oh, it's totally fair. You know, back in the day, just as you described, you know, you would think bullying was contained. It was contained at school or in sports or even in the neighborhood. Cyberbullying, it's 24/7. It is nonstop. And almost half of all children are being bullied online. So now you think about how we define what bullying is. It must hit these criteria. Now, half of children are actually getting impacted 24/7 because of the bullying that's online. And you didn't ask a specific question, but one of the reasons, sometimes I'll hear, oh, it's just bullying. Or, you know, back in the day in Boston, you'd hear, oh, just rub some dirt on it. You know, it was like, it's nothing, just get over it.
Right.
It's, no, that is so far off. And we learned this through our process. And in fact, there are some people may be aware of this, what we call adverse childhood experiences, ACEs. ACEs happen to a child when they're younger than 18, and it impacts or could impact their life for the entirety of their life if interventions don't take place. In 2017, bullying was added to the list of ACEs. So ACEs is everything from abuse, neglect, parents who have mental health challenges, parents who have substance use disorders, divorce, death, these types of things. Bullying is in that same category now. And it leads to everything from, again, depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation. It's that important. It's no longer, should no longer be seen as, oh, it's just bullying. No, it is bullying, and we have an opportunity to make this better.
Yeah, I mean, it's trauma, and you know, or at least it can be. You know, when it's obviously there's a scale of significance to the level of bullying and the repetition, the significance to any individual. You know, one kid may be able to just, you know, psychologically rub some dirt on it and ignore it, and another kid may be, you know, in tears every single night. And as you say, with social media, you know, the bully, at least in the past, was confined to the schoolyard. And, you know, or something like that, metaphorically. And so you could maybe physically avoid them. Now, the bully's in your bedroom every day, every single day. And, you know, how do you deal with that when it is ongoing, nonstop? I mean, part of the, look, I have a longstanding opposition to social media in general, especially for kids, including cell phones. I just don't think that every child of the age of 12 ought to have their own TV station. They tend to not do good with figuring out laws, you know, and principles like, you know, confirmation of evidence and, you know, avoiding slander and defamation. But that's a whole nother topic. The one thing I think sometimes when we talk about bullying, you know, and again, I want to make sure we get some solutions out there. But before we get, there's one other thing. Bullying from a peer, bullying from a group of peers, bullying from adults, including authority figures, is a real problem that children face and is especially hard because you think the one person who's supposed to be maybe the resource they go to is actually the source of the problem, right?
Oh, absolutely. And so I mentioned ACEs. Now, the other side of ACEs is positive childhood experiences. And in fact, the data shows, the research shows that if you actually have positive childhood experiences in a child's life, they counteract ACEs in a child's life. One of those positive childhood experiences is having non-parents, so people who are not in your home, adults, so people who are not in your home, adults who listen to you, care about you, look out for you, keep you safe. Now think about adults who are bullying. Coaches, almost half of children are bullied by coaches. I'm not talking about not getting playing time. I'm talking about abuse by coaches, almost half of all children. So when you think about that, and you think about the potential for that positive childhood experience, that coach that could have such a positive influence on a child's life, it blows your mind at the potential that we have to help coaches understand we need to move from the sphere-based coaching to to a different form of coaching that actually is going to help that child do better on the court or on the field, and also better in all walks of life, and counteract those potential aces that are in their lives. So we have huge opportunities, Andrew, to make a difference here.
No, it's a great point about the value of that, you know, fifth or sixth or tenth adult in a child's life that can be a positive force for them. And, you know, my dad, who's a pastor and a therapist for a long time, and he always he said, look, you know, God builds kids to be, to some degree, immune to their parents. You know, it's a good thing. Like, it's, you know, they need to get what they need from their parents, but they also need to be safe from their parents. But there is a kind of oddly special vulnerability and or special opportunity for blessing, you know, to come from the stranger, you know, the friend of the parent, who, as you say, can be a tremendous source of esteem and validation and meaningful, positive growth and nurture. Or the flip side of that is, you know, source of tremendous trauma. I do want to just make sure we give you a chance to talk a little bit about solutions, because I know, you know, that's a big part of your focus. And you have this expression, and I want you to talk a little bit about it. Your expression is run towards the roar. What do you mean by that?
Well, I learned some years ago how lions hunt, and I'll do it very quickly here, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow night, this evening, actually. The way lions hunt is the male lions will be on, say, one end of an area, and they'll sit there, and they'll have their mane, and they'll have their teeth shining in there, and all of that. And then the lionesses, you're on the other end of the field. The lionesses, I learned, actually do the true hunting. What the male lions do is they roar. They roar. So those antelopes or whomever, whatever animals are in the middle there, they hear that roar, and they run away from what they're afraid of towards, actually, in this case, more danger. And so I use the term, we need to run toward the roar. When our son was being bullied, and so horrifically, and we ended up moving from our city, it was that bad. When that was happening, we were petrified. We got to the point, like I said, we made mistakes, so we got to the point where we were afraid to do anything else. I'm going to tell a story, a horrific story tonight, about what happens with another parent and their child when they get to the place where they're paralyzed. We need to get beyond being paralyzed. We need to find the evidence. We need to use good intentions, so our hearts, and the evidence, so our minds, to do the right thing always, and then run toward that roar and help these children. And we need to also, the other thing I'll say, is we need to keep an eye on all children. Not just our child, not just the kids on our team, not just the kids in our classroom, but all the children in our community, and keep an eye on them, because every one of them is valuable, and we have the opportunity to help every one of them.
Absolutely. Tom Dahlberg, he is here for Civicon. He's speaking tonight at the First United Methodist Church, the Wesley Abbey building, if you plan to go to that tonight from 6 to 7:30. There's also an event tomorrow morning from 7:30 to 9 in the first floor training room at Maritime Place, but you can find out more about that by going online. Just search for Tom Dahlberg, D-A-H-L-B-O-R-G, or Civicon, and any of the resources should be able to pop up for you. Tom, thanks for doing what you're doing. Thanks for sharing some ideas with people, just getting them to talk about this stuff, raising awareness, and, you know, helping with solutions. I really appreciate the work, and thanks for coming to Pensacola to help our community parents with this stuff.
Oh, Andrew, I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit here, and I hope people show up tonight and tomorrow. And tomorrow at the workshop, we're going to do a lot of reflection. Gandhi says we need to be the change. So people, be aware that we're going to do a reflection, and can't wait for it, and looking forward to it. So again, Andrew, thank you so very much.